them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, or of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Father, again, we do thank you for your grace and for your love. We thank you, of course, for your word. And as it declares who you are and what it is you've achieved and what it is you will accomplish for all of eternity, may we take these truths to heart, allowing it to work effectually in the realm of our inner man. We pray that as we examine this particular passage, may we learn, of course, its dispensational significance, and yet at the same time, recognize a real practical application in regards to spiritual growth and development. And of course, we ask these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. You know, quite often when we read here in chapter 5, verse 12, the writer here, he is challenging the reader to advance from the milk doctrine to the strong meat. Now, we know that the Apostle Paul, when writing to the Corinthians, he uses some similar language. But I'd like to just, at the outset, point out a real important distinction between what Hebrews is saying and what the Apostle Paul would say if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Again, we read Hebrews 5 and we often make this personal, individual application. And when the Bible talks about milk doctrine, obviously, as an illustrative analogy, we know that spiritual growth involves advancing beyond the basic or foundational doctrines or truths and advancing to the more advanced truths that are being taught. Hence, you have this language, milk and strong meat. On a personal level, we understand what's happening. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul uses a similar illustrative analogy. He uses similar language in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. So, here in 1 Corinthians, Paul uses similar language. And it's interesting, in 1 Corinthians, when Paul labels milk doctrine, when he uses that label milk doctrine, he's talking about the cross. If you notice there in chapter 2, verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him, what? Crucified. So what Paul is doing here is, as he's writing to the saints there at Corinth, he's unfortunately restricted in what it is he's going to deal with the Corinthians about. He's restricted to the information connected with the crucifixion and the achievements of the cross of Calvary. Now, what I want to point out is this. If Paul is saying to the Corinthians, I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, and then a chapter later, he says, all you can handle is milk, then what can we conclude? The milk doctrine that Paul's referring to has to do with some of the foundational truths revolving around the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Well, so then when Paul talks about the Corinthians not being able to handle the meat, well, then what would the meat doctrine involve? As we keep reading, look there at verse 6 of chapter 2. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, and when we understand perfect in the sense of full age, of spiritual maturity, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God before ordained before the world unto our glory. Unfortunately, Paul could not deal with the deep truths of this particular hidden wisdom of God. In fact, a little bit later in the very same chapter, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So this is what Paul is doing when he's writing 1 Corinthians. He is limited to teaching the foundational truths concerning the crucifixion. What did the Lord Jesus Christ achieve on the cross of Calvary? He labels the meat doctrine as the deep things of God, things that, of course, pertain to, as Paul calls it, the hidden wisdom of God. So the milk doctrine is the cross. The meat doctrine is the mystery. Now go back to Hebrews chapter 5, and what we find here in the book of Hebrews is the meat doctrine actually being the achievements of the cross, and the milk doctrine being truths that you find in the Old Covenant or Old Testament program. So I just want you to let's look at verse 12 again. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Now, the expression, the oracles of God, very unique to the nation of Israel. Romans chapter 3. You know why the Jew had an advantage? Because unto them were given what? The oracles of God. So the Hebrew writer, when he talks about these first principles of the oracles of God, notice he continues, and are become such as have need of milk. So the question is, well, what milk doctrine is the Hebrew writer talking about? He's talking about the first principles of the oracles of God. The oracles of God will take you back to the, quote, Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Now drop down to chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the... Now, obviously, we just read something in chapter 5, verse 12, right? The first principles of what? The oracles of God. What the writer is doing is, Israel, there is now a point in time where she needs to move beyond the first principles of the oracles of God and move on to perfection. So now we can appreciate this analogy. The milk doctrine reserved for the baby, the milk doctrine representing the fundamental truths in the context, the oracles of God. And then, of course, you have the meat doctrine representing the advanced information that's reserved for those that are perfect. Or, look there at chapter 5, verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That's the idea of being perfect. So the meat doctrine is going to take us or take the reader beyond the first principles of the oracles of God. Now let's read chapter 6, verse 1 again. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, that sounds a little odd. Why would anyone want to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ? Don't you want to know the doctrine of Christ? So, what specifically about Christ is the reader supposed to leave? Now, not leave in the sense of abandon, but leave in the sense of progressing beyond the milk foundational understanding regarding the doctrine of Christ. Don't read verse 1 as you got to jettison all of this information. You leave your addition, 1 plus 1 equals 2, by advancing to the next level of mathematics, and then advancing to the next level of mathematics. And that's the concept here. So chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of. And what the writer here is now going to do is take the nation of Israel back to the oracles of God. When studying the Old Testament, you learn a great deal about the laying again of the foundation of repentance from dead works. Now, verse 1, talking about dead works. And we'll get to some of this in a few minutes here. But just keep this in mind. The milk doctrine concerns this issue of repentance of works. Now, it says here, dead works. The end of verse 1, and of faith toward God. Why would anybody leave faith toward God? That doesn't sound right, does it? Keep in mind, it's advancing beyond faith toward God. The nation of Israel, they're supposed to be building. They're supposed to be progressing. They're supposed to be developing. And as they leave some of the foundational material aside, they advance toward something more, something beyond. So the writer's not saying that faith toward God is illegitimate, that faith toward God is invalid. It's saying move beyond it. Now, chapter 6, verse 2, of the doctrine of baptisms. Once again, that is Old Testament doctrine. Of the laying on of hands. That, too, clearly is Old Testament doctrine. And of the resurrection of the dead. Again, Old Testament doctrine. And of eternal judgment. That, too, is Old Testament doctrine. What's happening here in Hebrews simply is this. The nation of Israel is stuck in the milky, elementary, foundational, basic truths taught in the Old Testament. The Old Testament simply pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament served as figure and shadow and type, pointing towards the reality and the fulfillment of what was taught. So the milk tends to be the basic schoolmaster information. It provides the prophecy information. It provides the shadow, but it's pointing to the ultimate reality being the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary's cross. So, if you allow me to chart this out real quickly. Here, of course, you have the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you allow me to, you know, here's the dispensation of the grace of God. The Hebrew epistles take us over there, right on to Hebrews to Revelation. What we have here in Hebrews is the writer saying that the milk is over here, and the meat is over here, especially as the cross is the means by which God can establish the new covenant. Of course, the oracles of God, the old covenant program, the, quote, Old Testament, is simply shadow. It's simply basic teaching. And in the book of Hebrews, you find out that what the cross achieves, the very foundation upon which God can even establish and implement the new covenant, it's called meat. But now the Apostle Paul, remember what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. When Paul talks about milk, well, I guess I'll do it this way. Interesting, I'm going to do it this way. When Paul talks about milk, interestingly enough, he takes the church, the body of Christ, to the cross. And when Paul talks about meat doctrine, he's talking about the hidden wisdom of God. So there's an important distinction that we want to make right at the outset. Now, in Hebrews chapter 5, why is it that the writer is exhorting and actually he's rebuking? He is rebuking Israel. Notice in chapter 5, verse 11, of whom, and this, by the way, has to do with Christ, of whom we have many things to say. Now notice, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. What's the problem? Why is it that Israel has to get beyond all of the milk, begin to recognize what happened on at Calvary's cross, and the writer here says it's hard to utter. And it's hard to utter seeing that you're dull of hearing. So we see there are two problems here. When something is hard to utter, you know, the sense is you're unable to speak it. You're unable to bring clarity to some things. Now, the reason it's hard to utter it, it's hard to bring clarity, is, according to verse 11, because you're hard of hearing. You're dull of what? Of hearing. There's something wrong with the nation of Israel. And the rebuke goes on, verse 12, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers. So the rebuke is describing what the problem is, and the rebuke is also stating, you know, the nation of Israel, they're supposed to be teaching some truths regarding what was accomplished on the cross of Calvary. They should be teaching the meat doctrine that Hebrews through Revelation especially is going to begin to lay out and begin to amplify. Let's just talk a little bit about this whole idea of hard to utter. It's hard to say and it's hard to hear. What's happening here? Now, don't read this as some individual personal rebuke or reproof. The passage isn't saying individually readers are difficult to hear. What you find is this is clearly a national or dispensational rebuke. The nation of Israel should be about doing what the Lord intended for them to do, and that is to teach, to be able to communicate the meat doctrine concerning the new covenant provisions. But they're not able to do that. Dispensationally, nationally, Israel, they're not teachers. And why is that? Now, we go over to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's already warning the nation of Israel about her spiritual condition. And the warning that the Lord Jesus Christ issues, sadly, is exactly where you find Israel by the time Hebrews is written. Here in Matthew chapter 13, notice beginning there at verse 9. Matthew chapter 13, verse 9. Notice what the Lord says. Who hath ears to hear, let him what? Hear. Now, I'm going to say this because I have a feeling we're not going to... You know, the book of Revelation uses that expression 10 times. Interesting. The book of Revelation, and I know we'll at least go to one passage, 10 times. You know what the book of Revelation is going to say? If he who has ears, let him hear. Now, what did we read in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12? What is the problem with the nation of Israel? They're dull of what? They're dull of hearing. Because they're dull of hearing, they're not able to handle the meat. They're not able to digest the meat. They have to be retaught, as it were, the first principles of the oracles of God. Listen, the issue of repentance of works, the issue of faith towards God, the issue of baptisms, the issue of the resurrection, the issue of eternal judgment. The issue of the laying on of hands, all of that has to be retaught. They should be teaching. What's the problem? There's a hearing problem going on. Now, let's keep reading verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now, when something is hard to utter, keep that in mind. It's not because you can't pronounce the words or it's difficult to articulate. Hard to utter has to do with the inability to communicate something. In other words, there is information that is not being communicated. So there's a twofold problem here. Information not being uttered, information that is not being made known, and at the same time, wait a minute, is anybody listening? Not you. The audience, the Lord Jesus Christ, is anybody listening? So what's the Lord doing? He's going to start communicating in a way that is, as he calls it, the mysteries. And he's challenging the audience, you better open up yours. Verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So the Lord's going to explain why he's going to communicate in parables. Now, I know oftentimes you hear people claim that the reason the Lord Jesus is using parables is because people 2,000 years ago were just flat out ignorant, and they were simpletons, and they had no ability to grasp anything that... So the Lord uses, you know, these illustrations and so on and so forth. But that isn't what the Lord is explaining here. Look at verse 13. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they... The Lord Jesus is deliberately speaking in parables as an act of judgment. Information that should be uttered, information that should have been known, it isn't known. And at the same time, because they're rejecting, they're not operating by faith. They're operating in unbelief. So the Lord Jesus, he deliberately uses the parable to keep information suppressed. The parable is designed to reveal the information to the core group that he's ministering to. But the parable at the same time, it prevents the audience in general from understanding what's going on. And the Lord's saying, I'm doing this deliberately. That's why, verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of what? Here, what did we read in Hebrews 5, verse 12? What did the writer say? Wow, we should be over here. In fact, Hebrews and Revelation is going to supply all of the meat details. All of the meat doctrine is found in Hebrews and Revelation. But the writer to Hebrews, he's saying, Israel, you're stuck on stupid, as the famous general once said, right? And as Justin, I mean, and unfortunately, that is the sad spiritual reality. Israel is stuck on stupid. So the Lord, he's responding to their willful rejection, willful unbelief to the claims of Messiah, to the message of Messiah, to the ministry of Messiah. And the Lord Jesus, in effect, says, you remember what Isaiah said? Well, that's why I'm speaking in parables. Christ is deliberately responding to Israel's national rejection of who he is, okay? Verse 15, for the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Keep this in mind, what Hebrews through Revelation is going to do. 10 times, he who hath an ear, let him hear. You know who's going to have a listening ear? You know who's going to have a receptive heart? Those that the Lord Jesus just said, blessed are your ears. The little flock, the faithful remnant. That foolish nation, they're the ones that are responding positively to the claims that are being made. And in the future, there will be an element from that region that will give a listening ear to the words of the prophecy, to the information that's laid out. They're members of the little flock. So they're the ones, as verse 16 says, but blessed are your eyes, and for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, if you drop down to verse 34, drop down to verse 34, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. Why? Again, he's not being received, and the Lord Jesus now deliberately is suppressing information, reserved solely for the listening element, the little flock, the believing remnant. Verse 35, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. Now notice, I will utter things. Now, here's that same language, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. It's, as the verse says, hard to utter, and the audience is dull of hearing. Here in verse 35, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. All right. Now, has an anti-dispensationalist ever thrown this grenade at you? Wait a minute. Doesn't Paul talk about the secret, that hidden wisdom of God and so forth? Remember there in chapter 13, verse 11? Chapter 13, verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, people that are very antagonistic towards, you know, the mid-Acts dispensational understanding of the layout of Scripture, they will assume that, wait, the Lord Jesus, he's already preaching the mystery. Now, here he talks about mysteries. When the Lord talks about that which was kept secret from the foundation of the world. Well, see, the Lord Jesus, he's preaching the secret that, you know, you dispensationalists make a big deal of. Now, go to Psalms chapter 78. When we read about how some things are hard to utter, Psalms chapter 78, when the Lord talks about these mysteries, when the Lord talks about the secret, you have to understand, who's keeping it secret? Why is it a mystery? And why isn't it being uttered? See, the problem is, it isn't God who has suppressed information. Paul says that God kept a secret hid in himself. The problem with the nation of Israel, apostate nation of Israel, according to Psalms chapter 78, is all of this information that should have been known and knowable. Psalm 78, verse 1. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of what? Old. You know why Hebrews says it's hard to utter? The Lord talks about the mystery. The Lord talks about the secret. It isn't because God's keeping it secret. Who's keeping it secret? Who is suppressing information and revelation and doctrine that was readily available to the nation of Israel. Israel was keeping it a secret. How do we know that? Verse 4. We will not hide them from their children. Verse 3. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Did you catch it? Let's read verse 2 again. I will open my mouth in parables. That's what the Lord Jesus is doing, right? I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. You know what the problem is when the Lord Jesus is conducting his earthly ministry in the midst of the nation of Israel? Is this information known? Is this information being broadcast? Is it being repeated? Is the nation of Israel being grounded in the fundamental milky truths that were contained in the first principles of the oracles of God? And the sad reality is they weren't. They're guilty of suppressing the information. Israel is guilty of not making it known, of not telling it, of not communicating it, of not faithfully passing it on from generation to generation, so that when you have the shadow, when you have the type, when you have the figure of Jesus Christ, when you have the prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ back here in the first principles of the oracles of God, here comes the fulfillment, here comes the reality, and Israel is stupid, spiritually ignorant. Why? Because nobody's been teaching it. Nobody's. Remember how many times did the Lord Jesus say, ye do err not knowing what? The scriptures. If Israel would have been faithful in communicating and repeating and educating and instilling into each successive generation the teachings of the oracles of God, they would have immediately identified the Lord Jesus Christ as the prophetic Messiah. They rejected him. What did the Lord Jesus do in response to their unbelief? Then I'm going to speak in parables. And I'm going to fulfill what Isaiah says about you people. You're dull of hearing. You remember the old line, I hate to say it, you can't handle the truth. You don't want the truth, then you don't get the truth. So what Hebrews chapter 5 is in a sense doing, it's demonstrating Israel's rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we have in reality, when Hebrews says, you're dull of hearing, go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, you literally have a dispensational judgment that has fallen upon the nation of Israel due to her rejection of the claims of the Lord Jesus. And you know what the Hebrew, that was milk stuff. That was milk. Now, that's the sad commentary of Hebrews. Do you see why Hebrews 5 says, you guys should be teachers, but you have need of... This was baby formula. This was baby food. And they still missed it. Acts chapter 7, in regards to the sad spiritual state of the nation of Israel... Here you have Stephen, of course, filled with the Holy Ghost. And notice what he says in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and what? Ears. So here's Stephen, the third opportunity again that was extended to the nation of Israel. And sadly, they forfeited that opportunity. So here you have Stephen post-crucifixion, who stands there and via the Holy Spirit indicting the entire nation of Israel and declaring that Israel is uncircumcised where in ears. They can't hear. Now we can understand why Hebrews is describing the Jewish state of affairs. You know what? They're dull of hearing. That's their national predicament. One more passage in Acts, go to chapter 28. Interesting, even the Apostle Paul here in Acts 28 and as well as in Romans chapter 11, but let's just go to Acts chapter 28. Even the Apostle Paul, he too reaffirms Israel's obstinate defiance, rejection, and unbelief. In Acts chapter 28, notice there, verse 23, Acts 28, verse 23, "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him," to Paul, "into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning to..." You know what Paul was doing when he was challenging those? The law of Moses and the prophets, you know, it says there in the book of Luke, the Lord Jesus, after his resurrection, he had to teach the disciples that the law and the prophets and the Psalms said about him actually came to pass. He's, again, that's baby food. So here you have Paul, who is telling the nation of Israel, look, the identity, the fingerprints of Jesus Christ are all over the Old Testament. But didn't Paul miss it? Now think about that. Here you have Paul now saying, verse 23, at the end of the verse, he's persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of... Didn't Paul know the law of Moses? And out of the prophets from morning till evening. Now, keep that in mind. The Apostle Paul, of course, the recipient of the glorious revelation of Jesus Christ, the one who was persecuting the little flock, he now is educating Israel and saying the fingerprints of Messiah were all over the law. It was all over the prophets. It was all over the Psalms. Paul missed it. And Paul concedes. That was baby food, wasn't it? Because Paul wasn't operating with a heart of faith. Paul loved his religion more than he loved what was taught out of that Old Testament program. Paul valued who he was as a Pharisee, as a racial descendant of it. Paul, he had misplaced values, because if he truly was a Jew, remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 2? A Jew is not one who is circumcised outward in the flesh. A true Jew is one who is what? Circumcised where? In the spirit. Paul was not a spiritual Jew in that sense. He didn't have faith. And you know what? Even Paul has to concede that was baby food, and Paul missed it. Anyway, in light of that, verse 25, "And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias, the prophet, unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are," what are they? "Dull of hearing." Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. See, that's exactly where Hebrews... If you were, and if you allowed me to do this, you know, you can literally... can't, but if you were to eliminate this parenthetical period, the dispensation, the grace of God, and the book of Hebrews fits seamlessly after the events of the cross. It actually fits seamlessly if you kind of push it over there to the end of the Acts 7 chapter period, okay? And Paul here, he concedes Israel spiritually is in the same state that the Lord Jesus Christ warned them of. You guys aren't listening. You aren't hearing. And you're still stuck over here with the baby food. And a couple more passages, Matthew chapter 28, and then go back to Hebrews chapter 5, Matthew chapter 28, Hebrews chapter 5. So what Hebrews 5 is really doing, again, it's not emphasizing, you know, some individual need to stop with the milk doctrine and start feasting on the meat doctrine. It's emphasizing Israel's national status. Okay. Now, one more time, Hebrews 5, verse 12. Hebrews 5, verse 12. Notice, for when for the time ye ought to be what? Teachers. Remember what the Lord Jesus said? Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Hebrews, through Revelation, acknowledges that the nation of Israel, they should have been equipped, prepared, and ready to carry out this phase of the Great Commission, which is to go out among the Gentiles and teaching them. You know what Hebrews is saying? Why isn't Israel ready yet? Israel's not there. So what Hebrews through Revelation is going to ultimately do, tell you what, let's close here, chapter 6 of Hebrews, right? Hebrews chapter 6. So what will Hebrews through Revelation do? It is going to supply the meat doctrine. And the meat doctrine, again, is going to highlight and provide all of the glorious details of the crucifixion of Messiah, the one whose blood is the very foundation and basis for the new covenant. And that's what Hebrews especially is going to do. It takes the reader, it takes Israel from the old to the new. Let's read chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, so obviously continuation and argument. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Remember, not leaving Christ, but the principles, those first principles of the oracles of God, all that milk doctrine kept pointing to a coming Savior, to a coming Redeemer, to a coming King. Jesus says, here I am. If you went to kindergarten, you would have known who I am. They didn't even graduate preschool. Therefore, listen, now it's time for Israel to understand. You can't live on the milk anymore. What happened at Calvary? Hebrews is going to lay it all out. What happened at Calvary? Leave in the sense of advance beyond the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on to perfection. Again, full age. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Now, did the Old Testament say anything about works? Did the law demand works? The ceremonial demands of the, did it demand specific works? You know, the writer here, he's saying, those are dead works. Doesn't the cross and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for Israel's benefit, doesn't it give the answer to all of the works that the law demanded over and over and over again? Faith toward God. Now, obviously, the writer's not saying you should stop having faith towards God. But, you know, if you were an Old Testament Jew and you were well-grounded on the Old Testament, you know, if you had faith toward God, would you have had faith in Christ? So you got to move on. So what Hebrews through Revelation is going to do is it's going to focus on what Christ did. And if a Jew had faith towards God, they would have accepted the Lord Jesus as Messiah. Verse 2 of the doctrine of baptisms. Didn't the Old Testament teach about baptisms? You know what the cross teaches now for the nation of Israel according to the book of Hebrews? Listen, you know how Israel's supposed to be washed? In the blood. Remember in the old building on Neva, Revelation, who's washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, that's a passage out of the Hebrew epistles, the book of Revelation. But again, the point is this. Old Testament, water. Can water ever give eternal life? In and of itself, absolutely not. But again, the shed blood is the answer to Israel's problem. The laying on of hands, not for healing, but rather like Leviticus. You know what the priesthood would do to the calf or to the sacrificial lamb, they would lay their hands on that animal. So the laying on of hands, it's not for healing, but rather a shadow, a type. You know who is the true sacrifice for the nation of Israel? So on and on. Hebrews Revelation is going to provide the perfecting doctrines that will enable Israel not only to endure the end time, but also equip them now to be skillful teachers to all the nations of the world. 10 times the book of Revelation says, if you have an ear, you better listen. Father, we do thank you for your love, for your grace, for your goodness. And Father, we just thank you that we can understand how it is you're working in and through your people, the nation of Israel, even in the future. We thank you, Lord, that we can learn some practical truths, certainly the need to grow and to continually take in meat doctrine. But at the same time, may we be careful never to confuse ourselves with the people of Israel and what it is you expect of them and what it is you're going to accomplish through them. We just thank you for the time of Bible study. In Christ's name, amen.